DNA measurably responds to human consciousness. Dr. Glenn Ryan, a biochemist who graduated from the University of London, made stunning discoveries that reveal how DNA behaves in direct response to human consciousness. For starters, DNA unwinds when a cell is about to divide or has been damaged, i.e., when it is dead, and it winds when it is working to repair and heal itself. The amount of winding or unwinding in DNA can be directly measured by how well it absorbs light at 260 nanometers. In these remarkable experiments, Dr. Ryan started out by taking living DNA from a mix of human placentas, putting it in deionized water, and then storing the whole mixture inside a beaker. Then, various people attempted to either wind or unwind the DNA by nothing more than the power of their own thoughts in heavy concentration. The control samples, where no one tried to do anything to them, changed by only 1.1%, but the treated samples changed by anywhere between 2 to 10%. This meant that our thoughts alone have, at the very least, a twofold effect on the winding of human DNA. Even more interesting, the senders with the most coherent brainwave patterns had the strongest ability to change the structure of DNA. And on the flip side of the coin, one individual who was particularly agitated and had a very incoherent brainwave pattern produced an abnormal shift in the UV, or ultraviolet light, that the DNA was absorbing. The change occurred at a wavelength of 310 nanometers, which is close to Pop's magic value of 380 nanometers, that same frequency that can cause cancer when it is scrambled. This angry person also caused the DNA to coil up tighter in its winding. Both of these are very unusual effects. According to Ryan, this change in the 310 nanometer light could only mean that an alteration in the physical chemical structure of one or more of the bases in the DNA molecule has occurred. That means our thoughts can actually create physical and chemical changes in the structure of the DNA molecule, as well as winding and unwinding it. This is the microbiological proof for the connection between angry thoughts and cancerous tissue growth that we've been waiting for. And the implications are just as profound for healing effects as well. Let's not forget how we can project significant bursts of photons into an electromagnetically shielded area when we are accurately remote viewing that location, as we learned in Chapter 4. Those photons may well have genetic information in them that can restructure others' DNA to restore health, such as the 380 nanometer light frequency. In another case, when DNA was placed in front of people who were generating coherence in their brainwave patterns, but were not trying to change the DNA, there was no change in the winding or unwinding of the DNA sample. It was only when they wanted it to change that it actually did. This strongly suggests that the conscious intent of the people was causing these effects to occur. Dr. Lou Childer was able to wind or unwind DNA in the laboratory from a half a mile away. Valerie Sadirin was able to wind DNA in Dr. Ryan's California lab from his home in Moscow, thousands of miles away, during one 30-minute period of time. According to Ryan, the key quality of this energy that can generate coherence in the brainwaves and directly affect DNA is love. Although the techniques used by the different healers are quite varied, they all appear to require a heart focus. The implications of this are tremendous. The source field appears to be responsible for creating the DNA phantom and storing light in the DNA molecule. It would appear that our thoughts changed the DNA phantom in Dr. Ryan's experiments first, and only later do we see any changes in the physical DNA molecule. Best of all, we now know that the most important emotional quality of the source field is love. Dr. Ryan proved that love has a direct, measurable effect on DNA, very likely through the same energetic process that creates the DNA phantom. Greater coherence, greater organization, greater structure, and greater crystallization. All these effects show us that the energy fields, molecules, and cells of our bodies are working in greater harmony and unity. For the first time, this actually gives us a scientific definition of love. It is not strictly an abstract emotional and biological concept, like the chemicals fired off in the brain when we eat chocolate, or the genetic urge to reproduce. Love can now be seen as a basic principle of universal energy. The more coherence, the more structure, the more harmony we have, the more love there is. And as the Russian pyramid studies show, this also has a direct effect on the behavior of the Earth, again suggesting we may all be living in a collective, lucid dream to some degree. Now let's return to Dr. Fritz Albert Popp, as some of his results are now being rediscovered by others. Popp found out that our bodies had a variety of different cycles, where the intensity of light would increase and decrease over time. This included biorhythms of 7, 14, 32, 80, and 270 days, which held true even after a year. He also found similarities by day and by night, and by the week and the month, suggesting our rhythms were somehow tapped into the movements of the earth as well. The basics of this phenomena were found again by Japanese scientists in a 2009 study. They were using extremely sensitive cameras that can detect single photons within very dark rooms, similar to the device Ruth developed for Popp's experiments. To their surprise, the Japanese scientists found our bodies were indeed glowing. The lowest intensity of light was at 10 a.m., and the strongest point was at 4 p.m., and it then dropped off gradually after that. Another interesting discovery was that our faces glowed more than the rest of our bodies. The Japanese scientists firmly believe this light can help us understand the condition of a person's health, but they are seemingly not aware of all the other research that has already made great strides in these areas. Dr. Fritz Albert Popp found that cancer patients had lost their natural cyclical human biorhythms. Furthermore, the light they were emitting was not anywhere near as coherent as a healthy person's. It was as if the overall level of light stored in their bodies were significantly reduced. Multiple sclerosis seemed to be an exception to this rule of ill health, though. In this case, Popp found that people were absorbing too much light, and it appeared to be scrambling and confusing the cell's natural ability to function. Popp wanted to find out whether the level of light stored in the body could indeed reveal how healthy the organism was, so he kept on doing more experiments. In one case, he found that free-range chicken eggs had significantly more coherent light than factory-raised eggs. When he examined various types of food, he found that the healthiest food consistently had the lowest and most coherent intensity of light. That's an interesting point, as it truly suggests that it is quality, not quantity, that counts with this bioenergy system. Popp made another significant breakthrough when he studied a common water flea known as Daphnia. To his amazement, he found that as one flea emitted light, other fleas reabsorbed it. They were drawing vitality directly from each other. This obviously implies that when we absorb too much light, the photons we give away are not waste products, they still contain all the vitality our bodies need. Sure enough, Pop found that small fish were also absorbing light from each other. Sunflowers would position themselves to where the most number of photons could be absorbed, and bacteria would soak up light from their surroundings. It is frankly quite amazing that this natural biological system has eluded our mainstream scientific thought for so long. But once this knowledge spreads, the effects will be tremendously positive. Pop then tested a variety of plant extracts to see if any of them could actually change the quality of light emissions from a human body, such as to potentially find a cure for the light scrambling effects of cancer. Every substance he tried only seemed to make the problem worse, except for one, mistletoe. Indeed, one woman in Pop's care was able to completely cure her cancer through the use of mistletoe extract. Dr. Fritz Albert Pop is not the only early pioneer whose work deserves a second look. Another classic breakthrough was Adamenko's phantom leaf effect from 1975. In this case, Adamenko was studying Curlian photography. All you do is put a leaf or other living thing on an electrified Curlian plate, and you then see a beautiful aura that appears around it as a fuzzy electrical current. To Adamenko's amazement, when he cut off the top of a living leaf and put it on the Curlian plate, a phantom image of the missing piece would still appear for 10 to 15 seconds. Many different groups have repeated this experiment around the world, and it was common to read about it in the 1970s Pyramid Power books. Again, normal electromagnetic energy should not be able to do this, but the effect does fit in perfectly with our concept of a source field. Every living organism stores and releases photons inside its DNA, but you can remove the DNA, and the photons mysteriously still keep spiraling in that same area for up to 30 days. This is almost certainly what is causing the phantom leaf effect. It is therefore possible that if you left the leaf on the Curlian plate for a longer period of time before you cut it, the phantom might also last longer, as that entire area has now built up a greater spiraling flow within the source field. Genetic restructuring and healing. Just 1 year after the phantom leaf effect was discovered, Dr. Vlyl Koznachayev made a very significant breakthrough that takes us even farther down the rabbit hole. Koznachayev started out with two hermetically sealed cell cultures and infected one of them with a disease. When he shined the light from the diseased cell culture into the healthy cell culture, the healthy cells mysteriously got infected with the disease. Bear in mind that there was no possible way through any known genetic process that this could have happened. The only way this could have worked is if the DNA inside the healthy cells actually rearranged to form the DNA of the virus. The virus then cannibalized the cellular material around itself to form more viruses, as it normally would have done in its typical life cycle. We are seeing DNA and living tissue being rearranged by the genetic codes contained within coherent light. Even more interestingly, when Koznachayev put a piece of glass in the way, the healthy cells did not get the disease. Glass, again, blocks infrared and ultraviolet light, so the genetic codes for the virus could not get through to the healthy cells. Of course, Gervich used the same method to block the energy emerging from the tip of a growing onion. And if you put a pane of quartz in the way, in either Gervich's or Koznachayev's experiments, the effect still works. And the key is that quartz allows infrared and ultraviolet to pass through. How could a burst of coherent light completely transform the DNA molecule and rearrange it from one life form to another? Don't forget that we are constantly surrounded by electromagnetic waves that are bursting with information. We have cell phone conversations, satellite television, and high-speed internet access going on all around us, uploading and downloading untold gigabytes of information. Laser light is very coherent, meaning there is a great deal of structure within it. This makes it ideally suited to carry information, just like we already do with other electromagnetic waves, but much more efficiently in this case. Just one pulse of light may well contain the entire genetic code to build an organism. And based on Koznachayev's landmark discovery, it appears that DNA is ready and waiting to be rearranged from one type of organism to another, if it receives the proper codes first. This will become much clearer with multiple examples as we go on. After discovering the DNA phantom effect back in 1984, Dr. Peter Garyayev made additional discoveries in 2000 that have profound implications for human health. In this case, Garyayev started out by collecting seeds that had died of radiation poisoning from the Chernobyl nuclear disaster. Amazingly, by simply shining a non-burning laser light through healthy seeds of the same variety and redirecting that light into the dead seeds, the radiated seeds miraculously recovered and were completely healed. They could now grow into fully healthy adult plants. This excited Garyayev greatly, so he decided to try a similar experiment on lab rats. In this case, he gave them a lethal dose of a toxin called alloxan. Typically, this toxin destroys the pancreas, an organ that creates insulin in the body to regulate blood sugar, and the rat dies within 4 to 6 days from type 1 diabetes. Garyayev removed the pancreas and spleen from a healthy rat, shined a laser beam through it, and redirected that light into a rat that had been poisoned with alloxan. Amazingly, even though this experiment was repeated many times, involving 3 different research groups in 2000, 2001, and 2005, nearly 90% of all the rats who received this treatment experienced a full recovery. Their pancreas regrew. Their blood sugar normalized. And within only 12 days, they were good as new. What's even more fantastic is that Garyayev was able to send the light from the healthy pancreas across a distance of 20 kilometers using non-locality, no cables or wires required. And the healing effect still worked just as well.